Hello everyone and welcome to That Brit Rest TV Show. This time for the second to last episode of Five Star Wrestling, this time from Plymouth on the 22nd of February 2018 from the Plymouth Pavilions in Plymouth. Joining us once again, the one and only Chris Wilson. Hello Willie.
Hello there. I'm very interested to see this show from the Brit Rest equivalent of the Houston Astrodome. The way this has been built up before and after the show. Yeah, this is Five Star Wrestling's WrestleMania X7.
Truly is, Chris. It's fine to see that for the first time ever in Five Star Wrestling history, a near enough full building.
I wouldn't say full. I'd say very properly angled and properly lit this time. And you know, in all fairness, Plymouth doesn't really get much wrestling, I don't think. I'm not very familiar with the Southwest scene in particular, so if anyone wants to correct me and write in. But yeah, I think this is what happens when you actually go to a place where, yeah, people are deprived of this sort of type of entertainment. And they'll fill out in their droves on a Thursday night, live on Free Sports.
Generally, it would be the monthly visit of Joel Redman and friends down in Plymouth and Exeter of that parish.
Oh, like that, what was it, 4FW, based out of Swindon, that sort of territory?
Yeah, so, something like that. I think, is it UPW or something with
Free Exeters.
Anywho. On commentary once again, Greg Lambert and Joe Hendry, as we go into our first dark match of the evening. Relegated from the main show, it's Flash Morgan Webster with his modcast, with a very low and echoey mic, I will say that. Production mishap of the evening. And coming out to chat to him, Chris, is Sovereign Nation York own Matty Mayhem, who is now treading the boards of Yorkshire in front of 25 people.
Yes, I was very amazed because we asked on the last podcast, didn't we, when he defeated HT Drake and someone else, I can't remember now, and we asked what actually happened to Matty Mayhem, like literally never heard of him before, never saw him afterwards, and yeah, lo and behold, there's Ben Corrigan on a Sunday afternoon in February, watching Matty Mayhem tearing it all up in, is it a social club or something? I am legitimately gutted, like obviously because we were at RevPro that day in Sheffield, and it was a fantastic show in Sheffield, but I was in York that day and I drove across. I wish I stayed in York
to watch a bit of shit ass wrestling.
Yes, I don't think I've ever had a proper experience like Ben Corrigan has.
To be honest though, Chris, he does sell it well with shit-ass, sorry. So this segment is basically Flash Morgan Webster saying to Matty Mayhem, despite two concussions last week, you won. How do you do it? What's your secret?
And, with half Matty a brain, Mayhem, probably.
Sorry, Chris.
With half a brain, I guess.
Yeah. He learnt the Shibata way. while Mayhem's giving his speech, you do have, though, a big camera shot of empty seats.
Yes.
It's like, for
fear.
Yeah. Just film the other way, not the hard cam side. Move along.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting, isn't it? Because this is the angle that we use for the show, so it's suddenly like 300 people showed up between this match and match number three. But so, yeah, at first when I saw it, I thought, God, have I misremembered this? Was this just empty as well? But they managed to get one angle where, because the way it's shot, it's sort of like in that slight Fire Pro wrestling at an angle sort of thing for a hard cam. It seems to be like a floating sort of crane shot. Kieran will be able to tell you exactly what type of crane and camera it is. So it does still look good at some angles, but yeah, it's looking quite empty in other different angles as well. It's looking a bit shit. As shit as those Union Jack flags, by the way. The fucking state of them. They just basically, hung up against the corners. They just hung them up in the corners and just couldn't be asked to hang them up in the middle, so just sort of drooped along the canvas. It looked absolute arse, it did.
Yeah. I will say with the building itself, it's a very hexagonal shape. I think, as you said, it's filled from like one of the corners and tried to swerve in. It's an interesting setup of a building. I think they've had like
it is.
Premier League darts has been there
previously,
and it's an early incarnation.
Yeah, I had a look the other day. It's sort of like it's a venue like I like to think like a Grimsby Auditorium where like you get your stand up comedians going there. You've got some people like. It's sort of like tribute bands where you get Blue playing there, obviously, because, you know, they're not filling the proper arenas anymore.
And also, soon to be, BWR running there in November.
Oh, no, the auditorium, yes, I saw that. Yeah, I'll have to see if I'm available for that one. BWR's version of WrestleMania X7.
A night in that Weatherspoons once again.
Yeah, oh dear. I have always thought that BWR, like the ultimate goal, should be running the auditorium, so I'm glad that we got there in the end. After that slight one PW diversion, shall we say.
So modcast thing, it all turned up into a bit of a match. Not much of a match, I will say, Chris.
No, like 3 minutes if that. I mean, yeah, it's such an odd one because you think, oh yeah, just this is one for like Flash Morgan Webster to just pick up a quick victory after losing, but no, Mighty Mayhem gets the win after some shenanigans, it must be said, shoving redacted referee in the way of then giving Flash Morgan Webster a low blow for the win.
Yeah, to be honest, I was surprised that the result made Flash Morgan Webster look a bit naff here. Before we press record on the show, we mentioned about Flash Morgan Webster. How much has he changed in 6 years?
I mean, you could go further back in all fairness. I mean, not to be harsh of a guy, but I feel like there's been no revolution whatsoever. You know, he was the same at Progress as he was at NXT UK, as is from what I've seen of him now. Now, him and Mike Andrews, like on paper, should be a really good tag team, but they're two blokes still doing, you know, 2010s wrestling, basically, shall we say. And even then, I never really rated them as highly as some people did either. I just, like Mike Andrews in particular, I just never really got the appeal. There's a lot of that pop-up sort of appeal to like some people, but I always give the point of how he once wrestled for BWR, funnily enough, when they run out for Luke Carlis, which is a little social club. This is like about their third or fourth show at BWR run, so they hadn't like really built a fan base yet. And out comes Mark Andrews, already with his NXT UK appearances and everything. Silence. Everyone cheered the hometown guy instead.
Funnily enough, when we went, me and Jeff went to 1PW and they came out, I think this was one of their first appearances back after NXT UK. Silence as well. So it must be the South Yorkshire and Lincolnshire side of the country. Not a clue who they are.
We don't like pop punk or mod. We're more into Northern Soul over here.
Good choice of music. But I will say myself with Flash, he's had a change of coat at least. Like an upgrade. I think he still offers something in the ring, but I do see your point. It's, you know, maybe they just haven't moved on. But to be honest, it worked then. Probably still work now.
Yeah, I mean, if you change your game a little bit, you could still make yourself a bit more interesting. But I just feel like where do you go with someone like him? It's weird.
Match number two now. Another, it's a dark tag team match, as we have the filth of Chris Walker and Dick Riley, formerly Nick Riley. I think he's gone back to being Nick Riley now. This is L Redacted and Jody Fleisch.
Mm. More Union Jacks here. Jesus Christ.
Oof, buddy. Union Jack overload. But one thing I wanted to go into was, who the fuck is Chris Walker?
I have no idea. So, knock, knock. Chris, who's there? Chris Walker. Gonna knock your teeth out.
So, he's according to Cage Match, he's from Banbury in Oxfordshire. He's part... Well, it looks like he's part of a tag team called the Magnums. Like a pair of ice creams.
I was going to say, one double caramel, one of them white chocolate.
Yeah, so let's see some of his stuff. Thing in 2019, the Magnums were actually Chris Walker and Dick Riley before they were. This is after they were filth on Five Star Wrestling. So it's Chris Walker and Dancing Daddy Bainsley, the Austin Drake and the UK Dominator, who you might remember from the first episode of FWA TV. Yeah, he's he was in a rumble with MVP.
Oh yeah, oh, was this when MPV? Yeah, was on his like PCW type one.
Yeah, in Exmouth, Devon. So he looks very much one of these Southwest guys. He's there getting beat by the Saint in Froome.
Mm.
Yeah, so yeah, he's very much a local guy for local people. What did you think of this matchup then, Chris?
I'll be honest with you. I mean, I only watched this on Sunday and I couldn't tell you a single thing about it. It was what it was. It was sort of like just El Ligero and Jody Flash sort of like hitting like their, well, not high spots, like all the little crowd pleasing spots. It did a job, but yeah, there's nothing to this. A good thing to like warm up the crowd, I guess, but yeah.
I think similar thoughts about Ligero and Fleisch. It was just basically them hitting manoeuvres on Dick Riley, and Chris Walker, whenever he were in the ring, did fuck all. He just didn't look TV ready, where as his tag partner probably did. But
yeah, I'd say so.
Nothing 5-minute match for me.
Yeah. I agree fully with that one. It was a get the girl and Fleisch on the card sort of match. So
yeah. So we overhearing Greg Lambert talk to production whilst the camera is rolling. What they do then is they go through the angle what happened last week where Grado got kicked in the face wrongly.
Yeah.
By Rob Van Dam. So they show that. And then they start the show, and then Greg Lambert and Joe Hendry repeat what they said 2 minutes ago.
It was so weird. I thought, oh God, the audio is a bit fucked on this. But yeah, they just basically, they rehearsed the opening like run through and streamed it on Facebook Live.
Yeah, we found out about Charles Drake and Spanish Armadas.
We did, yeah. And you know, we talk about controversy of RVD kicking Grado in the face and all that. Like, yeah, this is a bit of a weird mishap. Although, not a strange mishap from Five Star Wrestling. What is strange, though, is I don't know what happened, but, like, they... let me just find a time frame. Like, within, like, the space of 5 minutes, so, like, 24 minutes on our file to 29, suddenly that grandstand is full. On the hard cam side, yeah. Like literally 250 people just went, oh shit, the show's on. They've come streaming in through the lobby and there they are, ready to enjoy a bit of red hot five star action.
Well, we start off red hot five star action with a Zach Gibson promo now mentioned on 6 years later at Revolution Pro, where he's basically not doing any promo work at the moment. Mm. God, it was good to see this again from the good old days of Zach Gibson.
Oh, yes, yeah, 100%. This was like, I mean, I think I've said this before, but one of the highlights of Five Star Wrestling were they were the first guys, I feel like, that gave Zach Gibson a proper push. In fact, as it turns out in hindsight, one of the only bloody guys that gave him the push that he deserved, which is fucking crazy, really. Yeah, and he comes out and does his 20-minute Monday Night Raw promo about the Yanks. But no, this was really good stuff. Again, I always enjoyed the shtick. And I'm glad to say, because again, I don't get to watch that much modern Brit Res, and obviously Zach Gibson's back on the scene now. But I'm glad to hear he sort of changed it up as well, instead of just playing the greatest hits.
So he comes out with Max Money, who are the tag champs, and Rampage Brown of the Aggrieved Brits stable. So yep. They're interrupted by Grado, representing the Imports, who has brought three friends with him, which is RVD, Rey Mysterio, and Moose. Who wasn't involved in the angle the week before. It was Colt Cabana, but Colt not available, Moose available.
Yeah, it's subbed in, subbed out. Yeah, I mean, obviously, Moose is more better suited for the angle, obviously, because he's had his issues with Rampage Brown in like the previous like 2 weeks going on, so it makes more sense. I feel like Colt Cabana was probably more of a substitute than Moose was. But yeah, if this was a decent sort of little angle to set up the team warfare later on, yeah. If it 4-on-4, it was all right. I already feel like, though, and I said this in the last show as well, that Five Star really struggling to fill up 3 hours, and will find any way they can to get it filled, which we'll get into a lot more later on with our heavyweight title angle, shall we say?
Yeah,
but yeah.
A lot of padding here, Chris, I will say.
Yes.
So next up is for the Tap or Snap Championship, as we have Mark Askins, who has supposedly sent out an open challenge and comes down to the ring pulling faces at the camera like a good guy. He's been a bad guy for the previous 5 weeks.
Yep.
Versus the challenger at this on this day, which was the one and only Matt Riddle, back when he was popular.
Back when people actually liked him. 6 years is a long time. Well, I think it was well known even at this point it was a bit of a knobhead anyway. We just sort of accepted it because he had really decent matches, but does he even have that anymore? I remember going for Matt Riddle from bloody Money in the Bank last year.
Yeah.
If you could give Gunnar a bad match, you'd probably dog shit.
Yeah. Wasn't it Birmingham where he had that match?
Oh, yeah. The original one where he won the Atlas title. Yeah, that was the main event. They clashed the same day as the original NXT UK Blackpool show, if I remember rightly.
Yeah. But nowadays he's... Yeah, he won a belt in New Japan, which is a dead company anyway, so...
Yeah, and he's in MLW, another dead company.
Yeah, so not pulling up any trees. But back in 2018, probably was pulling up a lot of trees. He was, you know, maybe one of the best imports on the scene at the time.
Oh, he was. No, but about to say, I will admit, yeah, at one stage, if I knew Matt Riddle was on a card, I'd try and go my way to go see it. Yeah. In all fairness, you know, he was, again, I don't want to give a tribute to someone who's quite problematic, shall we say, but, you know, back then, you know, it was undeniable how red hot he was. And in my head, I thought he would turn out to be one of the biggest wrestlers possibly in American history. I thought he was going to go to WWE, and I thought he would be main event in WrestleMania after WrestleMania. I don't know why, in hindsight, but I thought he just had all the qualities about him. You know, he had the look, he had the charisma, he had the wrestling skills, just all sorts. But yeah, then his whole personality, shall we say, got in the way of, and here we are today.
So this match, I think this is probably apart from the the gauntlet and the world title match, probably best match on the show by far.
Oh yeah, but to be fair, this is one of the better matches that we've seen on this run. And it's the first time I also feel like a proper introduction to what the Tap and Snap title is more about as well. Whereas I feel like that's been quite lacking so far, where like both guys have like gone for like a primarily submission based strategy, whereas before, and I think we see again later on as well, in our two other Tap and Snap matches, others have sort of treated it as, oh, we'll do our normal match and then we'll just do some submissions towards the end. Whereas these guys, you know, a lot of the time they're barely not up from the mat because, you know, it's just like sort of riding around just trying to get like a hold on one another. And yeah, say I did really enjoy this match.
Yeah, no, for me, you probably go about 3.25, 3.5 on it. It's at the top. It's at the top end of 5-star wrestling matches, and that's not saying much.
I know. Yeah. If everything 5-star feels like about 2.5 stars, this is definitely 3.5.
Yeah. So we have Matt Riddle winning the Tap and Snap title there. For the title change, will he defend it next week?
I can. That's the title done. It's like fucking. It's like Billy Kidman and Rey Mysterio winning the WCW Cruiserweight Tag Team titles on the final Nitro.
It's like Big Guns Joe winning the Breed Heavyweight title in a cage.
Oh, fucking hell. I forgot all about that. That was the final show as well, wasn't it? That wasn't the show after the cave, was it?
No, that was the final show. They were another one, weren't they?
They were called Let's Push Things Forward because of the Streets reference, and I think Mitch rearranged that date about 4 times before everyone started going, hang a bit, yours 2 grand here, mate.
Yeah. Yeah, fucking hell. Memories.
Yeah.
Next up is a tag team match. Oh, God. Some lazy-ass workers in this one. As we go to the Masters of Cool, which is Carlito and Chris Masters, versus the UK hooligans of Roy Knight and Zack Knight. One and a bit ever, special, this.
Yeah, if you ever wondered what a Carlito-Chris Masters house show match and a hooligans house show match mashed together would look like, you probably need a better imagination. This is just boring, turgid stuff.
It's sort of how you expected it to start off, right? Hooligans, it's our match.
Yeah.
Then the other two get on offense and it's just doing moves. Well, moves in a plodding way.
Yeah. I think Carlito's probably like whispering to him to slow down a bit because he can't be asked anymore. Hooligans dive on him a bit. And then yeah, they piss about and then the Americans win. Because it's 5-star wrestling.
Yeah, I think he was under 10 minutes, and it's 10 minutes of my life I will never get back, and probably the same
year. Yeah. At least it was under 10 minutes. We have watched a couple of bloody 15-minute ones with these bloody teams at this point. I mean, I know we only got one show left after this, but I am so bored of a tag team division.
But it's one of the best tag team divisions in the UK and in the world, according to Gregory Lambert on commentary.
Oh, shut up, Greg. Just shut up.
Next up is a segment which is the basis of the show with an English Lion, Eddie Ryan, in his hometown of Plymouth. And, oh, God, out comes, to interrupt him, the one and only Jack Swagger, Jake Hager, the 5-star wrestling champion.
Yeah.
Ooh, good God, another rough promo from our Jack.
Yeah. I mean, I was going to say, a promo from Eddie Ryan. Good grief. He's like, I'm going to win for you tonight. Awful promo. So, I mean, to be fair, A, he's already stolen the Justin Sizem get up anyway. And then is doing proper butlins, but like really unbelievable, just sort of like promo work as well. About to say, his promo is on the Ric Flair Iron Claw levels of bad.
Oh, and that's bad.
Yeah. It's bad and it goes on forever, it feels like.
Any thoughts on Swagger and his promo?
I mean, his was just as bad, to be fair. This is all dog shit.
It just made you wonder. I think we mentioned this last time. How the fuck he won a world title? I don't know.
It's bizarre, isn't it? Because you've all these imports that Dan Hinkle's kept importing in, and you put the belt on Jack Swagger. Literally, you've got RVD and Rey Mysterio there every single show, and you're not going to put the belt on them. Bizarre. I just really don't get it. If you're going to be like a Mark Fed and you're going to like book for guys that, you know, you watched when you were a bit younger, just fucking compliment them by giving them the belt, but not to bloody already past it, even though it was only WWE champion 5 years ago, Jack Swagger. Yeah, nuts.
And then I think about, was it about 3 years later he would turn up for AEW?
Yeah. Where he's still somehow there to this day.
Yeah, no, he didn't get released. I think Jericho's hidden him and his hat away in a closet. It's
like, I think so, right, yeah.
You're not getting sacked. So, anyway, Jack Swagger, JK, who came out and said to Eddie Ryan, if you want a title shot against me, you need to go do a gauntlet match against five people. Let's see what five people that he brought out, or some names here, Chris. First off, Marcus Burke, who you remember from last time, tripped over his own step.
He did, yeah. The vegan warrior,
yeah. He actually walked in a straight line this time. He was all right, his little bit, I thought, with Eddie Ryan.
Yeah, this is all fine. I just love, I mean, we'll get into a list of people, but I just love how Jack Swagger's looked at, like the list of, like, wrestlers on, like, the card and, like, the whiteboard of the back, and he's just gone to all the guys of a dark match over the last 2 weeks, gone, yeah, you guys will do. I choose you.
Because, I think three of these were in the dark match, weren't they?
Three of these have been in the dark matches, and I think all three of these are on their actual debuts as well. So, like, on the actual TV. So, Tim Wiley and HT Drake, I think, have just been dark matches as well. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, Eddie Ryan beats Marcus Burke. Out comes next. Was it Tango Tim next?
No, I think it's HT Drake next, to be fair.
To be honest as well, he was good as well. He still does that. He did that bloody Enziguri, what he does off the top rope, which he still does nowadays, 6 years later.
Yes,
he does.
Still, it's a cracky move in all fairs to him, yeah. I always felt like HC Drake should have had a bit of better shake from what he has done over years, but hey-ho. Maybe that's just the old tidal nostalgic in me.
I think it is.
Yeah.
Tango Tim, he's not much Tango, is he? Because he's pale as a ghost.
He does, yeah. He just looks like some absolute shit sort of like security guard outside of Weatherspoons on a Friday night.
They did say he was like did he say
we'd
adorn him as a security guard or something?
Oh, God, maybe actually did. Yeah, that just came out of nowhere. I completely forgot about that. Yeah, and he actually does look like a doorman.
Yeah, so he's from Shropshire. Is he still going nowadays? He certainly is. As he was getting beat at Valor Live in Kirkintilloch in Scotland by Mike Muzo. That's in my muso. Terrible.
My
look
muso.
At this. Look at this freeway. BOP in live in Paisley. Tango Tim Wiley and Sheik El Sham both got defeated off Samurai Del Sol.
Nice. Okay. There's a match.
Fucking hell. But he done that. That's in 2023, and he's all going back to 2022, where he's generally in Scotland and what have you, where he's based. I did used to see him a bit in Infinite Promotions, old Tango Tim Wiley with the babyface Pitbull. Terrible. So Tim got beat, and next out, not one, but two people with beards. As we had Dave Mastiff and his son, Big Grizzly, coming out to face Eddie Ryan. I do find it funny when Big Grizzly comes out, because he puts his arm out and then Dave Mastiff just like pushes out of the way, lets the star through.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. I'd say if this stretch was all right as well, to be fair. I like how they built up. They're like, oh shit, and now there's two of them, and it's the two big lads as well. And ultimately, inevitably, Grizzly and Mastiff basically slip on a banana peel in order for Eddie Ryan to do the Sheamus move to the George Cross, whatever it's called. What was his name? No, that was Eddie Ryan's name. White Noise, that's the name I was looking for. Yeah, he does the White Noise to get the victory. I mean... We sort of summarised it very quickly here, but bear in mind what I was on about in terms of padding earlier on in the show. Since the beginning of Eddie Ryan's amazing promo, about 27 minutes have elapsed. I don't think we've said for context, in case you're not aware, so like Eddie Ryan is from Plymouth, so this is his hometown show. This is Stone Cold Steve Austin coming out, and Howard Finkel was saying, from Victoria, Texas, you know, WrestleMania X7. It's basically the same thing, if not more important than. So, yeah, the crowd have been given 27 minutes of Eddie Ryan here, and in all fairness to the Plymouth crowd, every single time, they really pop for him when he gets the win. Like, they're absolutely on their feet, and they're really into him.
I will say that we build this crowd up, but they are the most into it crowd on this.
Oh yeah, yeah, yes, they are. Like if they're fully into it, was like the crowds that we've seen before. The kids just like run around screaming and a bit irritated on the front row, but like any adult normal, they've basically got their hands on their seats. Basically, it's yeah. So this is a proper crowd and. It's a shame for 5-star, but we couldn't find more crowds like Plymouth, but...
Well, these were the odd few out of that 18 million viewership that they had at the start of the TV.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was at 23 million last time I checked.
So Eddie Ryan wins in about 227 minutes as he becomes the number one contender to Jake Hager's 5-star wrestling championship. Next up,
can I give my nitpick here now?
Yes.
So obviously the main event is Jake Hager against Eddie Ryan for the title. So if Jake Hager was called the shots and all that lot, why didn't he take his title match there and then after Eddie Ryan just literally faced 5 guys?
You would, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Absolutely makes no sense whatsoever. So he lays out Eddie after the match, then just gives him like an hour and a half to recover beforehand, for surrendering most of the previous 27 minutes quite pointless. Yeah, this is pure padding. I mean, and in all fairness, they've also making sure that Eddie Ryan's getting like a pop in his hometown and not just making him out to be a complete idiot, but this felt, in terms of booking, quite ass backwards.
Next up is 9 minutes and 21 seconds of two professionals doing professional wrestling. in a tap or snap number one contender beat the clock match with BT Gunn, who doesn't look any different 6 years later, as I saw it last weekend, versus Nathan Cruz.
I mean, Nathan Cruz has got longer hair now, I think. He grew it back out again. You go by the last NGW show that I went to.
It's a match again, isn't it?
This is, what, the third time that Nathan Cruz has wrestled BT Gunn on this run?
Yeah.
There's been five episodes of this thing, and now they're doing... And now they're facing each other in the tap and snap bloody snap, crackle and pop championship. It's I mean, I think the last time these two wrestled, I said that it was a bit unfair to them because they were in an absolute dead slot in the last end of the third hour before the main event of, I think that was John Morrison and Jack Swagger, I think. Yeah. And I thought they were in an unfortunate position. Here this time in a lot better position, and this is just an absolute nothing match. Just nothing going on whatsoever here.
Man, you, it's after the Eddie Ryan 27-minute epic, so... Yeah. The come-down spot, wouldn't you, maybe?
No, I would say so, because... Again, as I said earlier, compared to Matt Riddle, Mark Haskins, Cruz and BT Gunn, I feel like, just have their normal match, and then towards the end we go, oh yeah, it's a submission match, isn't it? We'll do some submissions now.
And to be honest, their finishes are not submissions. They're not submissions.
They're not. Absolutely. No. Like why are they in this division? Gives them something to do, I guess.
Gives them something to do, doesn't it? So they're twiddling the fingers backstage.
You've got to fill 3 hours somehow. I also find it very funny as well. So for Nathan Cruz's character, I don't think... I mean, I don't know if this is like Greg and Joe sort of like doing their own thing, or if they've been told to like say this sort of thing. But they're making Nathan Cruz out to be a bad guy because he's actually defending five-star wrestling on Twitter and being like a consummate professional in like... They call him an ass kisser at one point for defending five-star wrestling, like the show that you're watching right now. How dare Nathan Cruz defend the honour of five-star wrestling? I mean, to be fair, they're not wrong, but, you know, is this a place for it?
Making him look out to be a bit of a dweeb.
Yes, yeah, we do. And so does this match, in all fairness, but, yeah. So, yeah, BT Gunn wins in 9:21. Keyed for later on, because this is a beat the clock challenge, so the match coming up soon, which I have thoughts on, they've got 9:21 or less to win.
What one gimmick here as well, Chris, instead of putting it on like the big Titantron, what they've got, or actually on the TV screen, the camera pans around to a laptop with a timer on.
I know, and at a couple of points you see a bloke's hand like sort of reaching in. I think it's like sort of refresh from the trackpad before it goes on standby mode as well. Fucking amazing. But that's what you get for spending $20,000 every week to fly in RVD.
So, one thing as well, near the laptop are two hooded people who were just hung around there. We'll get into them later on.
You know what? I didn't even notice that.
I noticed it. It's like they look very innocuous. You know, like how we said to spoil one of the names, Bram was hanging around the ship.
I'm about to say, what's that Bram shaped figure doing in the crowd? Yeah.
Yeah. So next up is the 8-man tag with Team Import, which is Grado, Moose, Rey Mysterio, and Rob Van Dam. Taking on Adam Maxted, Charlie Sterling, Rampage Brown, and Zach Gibson, fighting for the honour of England and Britain. And you know what? Because this is five-star wrestling, guess who won?
Well, the Americans, obviously, yeah. Of course. Hey.
They just got fucked over again here. They all look silly.
They do. This is a very Millionaires Club versus New Blood, in that the New Blood get absolute fuck all I bet. And yeah, at the end of this exercise, you're meant to like prepare the new blood, and it just doesn't work like that.
You've got to feel sympathy for Zach Gibson with his foot under the rope.
Yeah. But, you know, unfortunately, Rey Mysterio's going, that doesn't work for me, brother. So here we go again. Zach Gibson doing the job.
Yeah. I will say, though, that the crowd really popped for Rey Mysterio. I think him and Rob Van Dam's maybe the two most over people on the show who were not called Eddie Ryan.
I mean, to be fair, they were in Plymouth. Now, again, why aren't you putting the belt on these two instead? Surely that's better advert for the show that you're trying desperately to get people into arenas for every single week. But yeah, in terms of this 8-man tag, though, I thought it was decent. It was fun enough as a little spectacle. I think this should have been the main event, in all fairness. Again, and then you put the Jack Swagger immediately cashing in his title shot sort of thing instead, but, you know. But yeah, I think it's served its purpose well, but where this angle goes from here is pretty dead, isn't it?
Well, there's an interview after, I think it's after the match with Gibson in the bout with Sol Cal Val, and he promises that he'll be a world champion next week. So he's booking his own world title match next week against the winner of Swagger and Eddie Ryan. But it was funny, while he was having his interview, on the screen was a picture of his foot under the rope. He said, "Are you taking the piss here and what have you? You think this is your joke?"
I just love how someone, after losing a match and that should be the guy getting pinned, goes, "I'm having a title shot next week and Dan Inkles isn't stopping him."
And he's not.
No. Amazing shambolic booking again from Five Star Wrestling.
Next up now, part two of the Beat the Clock, number one contendership, Tap or Snap. Oh, Joey Axel, who's like Buddy Goldberg on this promotion, versus 17-year-old Ricky Knight Jr. Didn't you know his two uncles who are having a movie made of their life? Produced by The Rock. No. but opinions on this match, it's very... It's another one that's... I think, like you said, with the BT gun matches, like, do your manoeuvres and then, oh, we'll go for a submission hold.
Yeah. So, this match, I think, has the worst booking of the night. Because they have spent the last 4 weeks making Joey Axel out to be this, like... not monster, but you know, he's got his calf muffler sort of finisher. It's his deadly finisher. He's destroyed everyone with it, and you know, he's sort of like going through like all his opponents in quite easy fashion.
Yeah,
and I'm glad you said 17-year-old Ricky Knight Jr. here, because again, for context, this isn't like the sort of RKJ that we've got now. This is like still a very, very young kid. I think this is his first real prominent spot in a promotion as well, in Britain. That's away from Norwich, obviously.
Yeah.
And so I'd have thought in this match, oh yeah, Joey Axel just absolutely runs through him in like 4 minutes or what have you. You know, absolutely beats the clock, destroys him, proves the point. Instead, they do this very bizarre thing where Joey does get the win, but it's after the time, so he has to basically... Oh, in 9:21, he couldn't defeat the 17-year-old kid. And to me, he just completely killed Joey Axel dead there and then.
Yeah.
Which apparently it was an absolute prick, so, you know, good. But saying that, in terms of booking, completely reductive stuff. I don't know what they were thinking here. Why, at the very least, they couldn't do this the other way around? So, like, Joey Axel wins in 9:21. He's like, yeah, beat that BT gun. And then he does instead. You know what I mean? So we get to the same place, but without them making Joey Axel and his stupid fucking hair look stupid.
Yeah. It was, for me, it was an all right match, but yeah, I do see your point. It's, yeah, makes him redundant now.
Well, yeah,
he probably will be redundant in an episode's time when the company.
Yeah.
So 9 minutes and 24 seconds. Unlucky, Joey. Good night.
Yeah, and again, way too long for a match like this.
Well, next up we have it's like an in-ring segment next with Luke King Sharp and. What's he called? Krieg, and then like three Plymouth lads come out.
Yeah, I didn't really catch the name of the Plymouth lads.
The Green Army.
The Pilgrims were called, so close
Pilgrims,
enough.
Pilgrims, yes.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
But we are introduced to he was a figure who supposedly turned up the week before. Some Norwegian lad via Scotland. What was the name again?
Tor Atterhagen. Yeah, Tor Andre Flo, former Chelsea defender. Was absolutely stalwart with the Norwegian team. Yeah, Tor Atterhagen. And you say Norwegian, just to clarify right now, he is Swedish.
Swedish, right.
He is Swedish, yeah. So, I mean, I take a short of time because obviously you've been to far, far more shows than what I have. So surely you've seen him at some point and you were like, nope, you haven't at all. You've never even heard of the bloke.
Yeah.
So I had a very quick look just before we started recording and I found his Facebook page where, as well as being a pro wrestler, is also quite a dab hand at BJJ for bloody martial art. I can never remember the full name
Brazilian
of that.
Jiu-Jitsu.
Thank you. Yes, I'm not into MMA myself, so I'm not really versed with it. He's done that. Apparently, he's got two children's colouring books, and he has a line of health supplements called just Swedish supplements, I think it is. And yeah, and he does a bit of cosplay, does a bit of modelling.
He's got to be into war, Amarami.
I reckon so, yeah. Yeah, he's and he's also known as Butcher, Tor Butcher Atterhagen, but that's what he does. It's sort of like, I take it, it's sort of tried to go into that sort of Facebook, Instagram, body fitness, sell some sort of pills sort of thing that all of them do.
Yeah, he looked a bit of a unit, but...
He did, to be fair, yeah.
The answer is, Chris, does he get used in Belfast? And what would you think?
If I remember rightly, from that snow at the time, I don't think you get him from Sweden to Northern Ireland very easily.
Le Suède, nil pois.
Nil pois.
Main event time now, as we get to English Lion Eddie Ryan. Our hero of the piece versus Jake Hager for the 5-star wrestling championship. A hot crowd. Could the babyface go over? Well, let me tell you something, brother. It's basically a 10-minute match, 9 minutes of Jake Hager beating the shit out of him.
Yeah.
he gets the George Cross. Looks like he could win. And gets smashed in the head by two blokes in hoodies.
The two Bram shaped blokes in hoodies. And Jack Swagger wins. We're done. Hooray. See you next time, Plymouth, I guess.
Fuck you, Plymouth. This basically
It was, yeah. I mean, again, I don't know why they couldn't have just done this match at the tail end of the gauntlet and just got it over and done with. I mean, sort of like. I mean. I will say the crowd again, they were fairly hot for Eddie Ryan, even though they were now about 45 minutes deep into watching him in the flesh on this one show alone, but they were still up for him.
Yeah. So the two mysterious figures, one was a Bram.
Of course.
The other one was, BWR Dungeon Master, Jack Jester.
Jack Jester, yes, that's right, yeah.
You can tell with his well-groomed beard.
Yes, yeah, you can. Fancy does just. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, every single main event that we've done for Five Star Wrestling, it's at the end of a very, very long evening. You know, three and a half hours. I mean, obviously, we get the chance to like skip because there's like lots of adverts and all that lot. So when we watch it, it's not so long.
Hey, to be honest, the early ones, Chris, we were just watching it all the way through just to listen to We Are Machines. But now it's just like, no,
can't we do it anymore? I mean, so bear in mind, you know, at the time, it's 3.5 hours if you're there live, if you're watching at home. And it's a long, long commitment, especially for Thursday night. And then when, at the end of your Thursday night, what they produce is a Jack Swagger match in the main event, every single time without fail, you're just going to be like, I really cannot be fucking bothered with this. And as a result, I mean, the match itself has probably worked quite all right, but at the end, you're just like, I've had enough now. I want to go home. It's Thursday night. I've got work in the morning. You know, it's there. I am still up watching bloody Jack Swagger and his bloody WWE gear still on. I swear he wore that gear in ECW. Anyway.
He did, and probably looked better in it.
Looked a lot better for it, yeah.
This was definitely the stage where he was in his can't be arsed mode. Give me money, though.
Well, you're saying there was a stage where he could be arsed?
Yeah. He lived off We the People for fucking 10 years, hadn't he?
Oh, God, yeah. But yeah, he was another bloody 2.25, 2.5 star sort of match. Yeah, I've got to watch one more bloody Jack Swagger main event, haven't I? That's going to be fun. Ugh.
Well, that's it. That's the end of the Plymouth show. What overall? I think it's the hottest crowd, isn't it? I think the Eddie Ryan. Gauntlet and probably Matt Riddle and Askins best matches on the show. 3.5 hours is still too bloody long. It's as much as like, oh yeah, we got UK wrestling had two and a half hours on the telly. A lot of it was just, especially with this show, just drags near the end, doesn't it? It just needs to be an hour and get out there.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I don't get. I mean, obviously, I take it they've sold it on free spots on three hours live every Thursday. But even if they just manage to like record three at a time and chop these up and you got 18 episodes out of it and sort of did a bit more post-production, maybe it would have zipped along a lot better. But yeah, they're doing this every single week and you can already tell from the booking it's just knackered and exhausted. You know, there's just already like sort of nowhere to go with a lot of this stuff. Like, you know, now they've sort of done that to Eddie Ryan, like, what do you do with him now? You know, and then, you know, what do you do with Jack Swagger still as your heavyweight champion? And then, yeah, it's... And what do you do with the Americans versus British when the Americans refuse to do the job anyway? And, you know, yeah. They dug themselves into a hole very, very quickly, I feel like.
Yeah, the ones, if you are going to push them and like the Americans gone away, you've already beaten them like a drum, haven't you?
Yeah. The other thing to say as well...
For instance.
Yeah. The other thing to say as well is like when we started this project, I sort of like... The thing I didn't really appreciate is that these shows, they're not bad at all. And I think that's sort of half a problem. I think the problem we've had is that we've zipped through these quite quickly because a lot of the matches are professional wrestlers having professional wrestling matches, and there's nothing really wrong with that. There isn't really that much actual shite going on in the same way we had with like WCW 2000, you know what I mean? But it doesn't have that variety like when we did WWF 2001.
Yeah.
And as a result, when you try to like watch it and view it in hindsight, I'm finding it a lot harder to really give a lot of comments because the actual in-ring work is quite competent in the same way that the vast majority of like modern Britwrest in-ring work is quite competent. But, you know, you think, yeah, that's a good match, but then you're not really thinking about it much afterwards.
Yeah, no, I tend to agree with you there. It's very, like, yes, it's competent, but it's not interesting or memorable.
No. I think what we've learned is that the more interesting, memorable bits about this promotion is the fact that this thing exists in the first place and all the decisions that Dan Hinkles and whoever made in keeping this promotion running, you know, in terms of like blowing all this money on bringing in imports every single week, you know, offering CM Punk $1 million and booking arenas and all this other absolutely absurd stuff, which when you like say this to like especially a non-wrestling fan, yeah, look, this is what they did. And they just think, like I mentioned this to like my partner about, you know, the whole setup, and instantly his thought was, what was this, a money laundering scheme? and he could be right.
To be honest, if you imagine like, you know, wrestling entertainment series in Nottingham, that would probably a money laundering scheme if it ever got off the ground.
Wasn't that supposed to be like some sort of like crypto bro sort of funded scheme as well? But again, if that show had taken place, the actual contents of the show would have been all right. It would have been like 2.5, 3-star sort of specials going on. It would have been outright terrible, a bit like this. But yeah, it's just more. I'm finding now in hindsight, as a promotion is more interesting than the actual content of a promotion. If you know what I mean.
I think as well, the production in general is all right. Like quality of the cameras and that. Still better than some British wrestling promotions in 2024.
In all fairness, if you ignore like the empty crowds as well, you know, you look at that and it's sort of like on the same level as like what TNA used to do and everything like that.
Hmm.
Yeah, obviously, they don't have as much of a production side of things going on, but you know, it's competently filmed and everything else as well. It's just, yeah.
It's all, I think, with especially British wrestling on, you know, terrestrial telly and Sky TV, it's finding that middle ground between, you know, what's going on in the ring here and World of Sport, but not going to what ITV did with World of Sport. Make it into like a bloody game show. I think they got it right the second time round, didn't they? With the NGW sort of polish on it.
It was still a bit too Sky One Gladiators colourful for my liking, yeah. I think, in my opinion, I've not seen this for years as well, but the best looking British wrestling on TV. That sort of like bridged the gap between, you know, an actual wrestling show and making it presentable was that when Rev Pro did that World of Pro Wrestling series. But I've not seen that for years, so that could look like shit now. But so I've got no idea. But I think that was like the sort of best example how to present wrestling on TV.
Yeah,
and not WWE anyway.
That was on Free Sports as well.
It was, yeah. I think that was the. Was that the winter before this whole debacle?
No, I think it might.
Was it afterwards?
It was afterwards because it took its spot.
I've got a look at this now.
Sure, it did.
Yeah. It's so hard to find it these days because obviously it was just called World of Pro Wrestling and it's such a generic name that even if you put RevPro in it, it's not really finding much. Oh, here we go. Oh, God, yeah, it was actually afterwards. October 2018 sort of time.
Yeah. So it's only 5 months after, 5 months, 7 months after this.
Yeah, it was. I remember that being a cracking show as well. Maybe it was a palate cleanser after 5-star wrestling, but I remember World of Pro Wrestling being a great little TV series, and I really wanted it to get a second series.
Yeah. Anywho, 5-star wrestling live in Belfast next time out. This one, which is the final.
The infamous episode. One. Yeah, the finale. In terms of what we were saying before about promotion, having an absolute shit show, this is the greatest way to go out.
180 in attendance. This is on the 1st of March 2018. I'll just scroll through the card and like we usually do. So here is some. They had to get some of the locals in here. Brian Coe against Duncan Disorderly in a dark match.
Duncan Disorderly, that is a terrible name. Good grief.
Another dark match. Big Grizzly against Morgan Webster. Flash Morgan Webster.
Mm.
Another dark match. Curtis Murray, who was from OTT.
He's OTT, yeah.
Russell Dempster. Dark match.
That's
now.
A name.
Or as they're commonly known it in Five Star Wrestling, a Drake match. As HC Drake faces Matty Mayhem. Main show now, three matches.
God, was it three matches in the end? I never remember how the show went. Does this mean we've got lots of adverts and filler to get through?
It has, you know.
Holy shit.
Five-star tag team title match, Max Money, Adam Maxton and Charlie Sterling against the Kings of the North, Bonesaw and Damian Corbin.
Yeah.
Singles match, Jody Fleisch versus Bertie El Patron. Fucking Alberto.
How did he get across to bloody to Northern Ireland, but everyone else got stuck in a snowstorm?
Yeah.
That is crazy.
And for the real wrestling title, vacated by Jack Swagger, it's Eddie
vacated.
Ryan against Zach Gibson in the main event.
So we've just completely binned off that whole thing. Oh dear. It's going to be an interesting show to go through.
I remember it being short anyway. I don't think it was 3.5 hours. I know it was about maybe an hour and a half, and then it just cut off. It's like, that's the end of the show.
If I remember rightly, or maybe I don't, maybe they had technical difficulties as well, actually getting the show to air.
Yes.
Yeah, so hence why it's a lot shorter, otherwise you just stick with dark matches on the main show, don't you? But yeah. But I think they also had difficulties with actually getting the thing live to begin with because of all the weather going on, so yeah. What a show to finish on. So I'm looking forward to that one anyway.
So there you go. That's Five Star Wrestling Plymouth done with. Chris, where can we follow you?
Well, you can follow my podcast at Cinema Tree. We've just done 10 Cloverfield Lane last weekend, which was a good episode. With plenty more stuff to come, including my next pick as well, being Twilight Zone, the movie, which is the infamous one with the kids being killed by a helicopter, for real. So, yeah, so that's coming up. And then, social media, it's all on private at the minute because I'm being vetted at work again, so don't bother.
No problem. Follow me at OggyPart3 on X, Twitter, and also at GCP Podcast 1 on Twitter for all the podcast information. Recently done the review of the Red Pro Rumble with both of the Laforts, Gadge, R. Jeff and myself. The actual episode is longer than actually what the Rumble took. I remember Gadge pointing that out at the end of the show.
Of course he did, yeah.
Also got reviews coming up of Atomic Pro Wrestling in Liverpool. That's in a brewery. And also Red Pro are in Sheffield and GPW in Hindley. And also episode 2 of Muck is on its way as we look at the faction in Impact Wrestling, Immortal.
Quality stuff.
And also go and listen to the other podcast I am on at FWA Pod. That is Nothing and Like It. The most recent episode is out now. So go and listen to that. Much better ending angle on that than this five-star wrestling show. But cheers, Chris, as ever, for your company on this.
Oh, thank you very much.
Journey through shite.
Pleasure as always.
Right, see you later, folks. Next time, the end of Five Star Wrestling. Bye.